Thank you very much, Candice. I'm Andrew Obin. I'm BofA Merrill Lynch's multi-industrial analyst, and I'm one of the co-hosts of this event together with my global colleagues from U.S., Europe, and Asia. First thing we want to do, what we're trying to do this year, we're just trying to do sort of jazz it up a little bit, and we want to ask you some questions, and if we could get the questions on the board. And basically, you have these little devices. I think some of you have seen them before, and eventually, we will share with you the answers. And we just want to hear what you guys think. And so the first question, the first voting question is, where is GDP growth most likely to surprise on the upside? One, Europe, two, U.S., three, LATAM, four, China, five, rest of Asia, and six, nowhere. So please pick one. I think you have like 10 seconds to do this. Well, all right. So I'm not going to read out the answers, but you can see them on the screen. That's very interesting. Let's move to the next question. When will companies see improving demand in Europe? Q1 of 15, 2Q of 15, 3Q of 15, 4Q of 15? Not this year. Interesting. Okay, let's go to the third question. Industrial stocks in which region look most attractive right now? U.S., Europe, Japan, the U.K., emerging markets. I spent a day yesterday with investors, so I'm really curious what people think because we've definitely heard two sides to that story. So let's do this one. Yes, that actually matches what we were hearing yesterday. And I think that's it, right, Mark? This is it. So thank you very much, and we'll be doing these throughout the day. So I am very happy to have here 3M. And, you know, with us we have 3M is $100 billion now, right, 105. Diversified industrial company that I think touches everything we do every day. And I'm very happy to have with us H.C. Shin, the company's EVP of International Operations, and Matt Ginter, the Vice President of Investor Relations. And with that, I will let H.C. present. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for inviting us to the conference. Very glad to talk about 3M for the next 30 minutes or so, followed by some Q&A. User forward-looking statement. So I'm going to do the review a little bit, talk about how we grow the company, and some more details relative to new 3M. It is really the new chapter of 3M, and we understand why. Mr. Inge Thulin, who is the CEO of 3M, laid out a new vision about 3 years ago when he became CEO. It's a very, very clear vision. You can explain the whole company pretty much these days with one chart, starting from very clear vision, followed by strategy, code of conduct, and then leadership behaviors. And our day-to-day activities are governed by three key strategic levers, which I spend a lot of time talking about some details, namely portfolio management, investing in innovation, as well as business transformation. Starting at the vision, this is a very authentic way of describing 3M company. This is what 3M does every day. All 3Mers around the world, 3M technology advancing every company, 3M products enhancing every home, and 3M innovation improving every life. And it's not just vision that we have. It's strongly backed up by clearly defined strategies to make vision a reality. Our strategies are composed of four growth strategies, first four, and then people, and then operational excellence. It's a very well balanced strategy in terms of growth, how we create productivity through operational excellence, and everything is enabled by people. So if you look at our four growth strategies, it's very, very clear how we want to grow 3M business. First, expand our relevance to customers and markets. That's what we do these days. And then we like to gain market share. It's not just market share, but profitable market share, and we'll accelerate our market penetration everywhere. We have a large untapped market penetration opportunity yet. Third one is what 3M does very, very well, R&D, commercialization, and innovation. And we'll step up our investment, step up our growth engine in this regard, followed by, you know, more local, more regional in terms of getting closer to the customers. So those are four growth strategies. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time on each and every one of these strategies. New 3M, under Inge Thulin's leadership, also clearly laid out our expectation in terms of financial objectives for the next several years. EPS growth of 9% to  11%, organic revenue growth of 4% to 6%, ROIC over 20%, and free cash flow over 100%. That is our stated goal as an organization to deliver to our shareholders. If you look at 3M in 2014, 2014 was a very good year for 3M. Our revenue was a little shy of $32 billion. It's a 4.9% organic growth at 22.4% operating income. As you know, we are made up of five market-facing business units. They're called business groups: Industrial Business Group, Healthcare, Consumer, Safety and Graphics, Electronics, and Energy. As you see the size, relative size here, Industrial is about $11 billion. The other four in the range of $5 billion to $6 billion in size. 2014, every business group showed a very, very positive and balanced result in terms of revenue growth, led by Healthcare of 5.8%, Safety and Graphics 5.4%, Electronics and Energy 5.2%. And every business unit showed a very good operating income as well, again, led by Healthcare Business Group, 30.9%, followed by Safety and Graphics and Industrial. So very healthy state of business in all five business groups and all geographies, and I'll get into a little bit more details as we go along. We also identified what are the fundamental strengths of 3M as a company. There are many, but these four are fundamental strengths that we have established as a company after a hundred some years. So 3M is well known as its technology and innovation. Maybe a little less known fact about 3M is we have a capability, very, very superb capability in manufacturing process technology. We have global capabilities. We have 73 subsidiaries. We are doing business in over 200 countries. We can reach customers everywhere in the world by our people who really understand local customers and local culture, and as well as 3M brands. So these are four fundamental strengths as a company: technology, manufacturing capability, global capability, as well as 3M brand. Before we go any further, I'd like to explain 2014 result in a little bit more detail. Our EPS was $7.49, up 11.5% compared to 2013, with organic local currency volume growth of 4.9%, operating margin of 22.4%, up 0.8% year-on-year, and free cash flow conversion of 104% at ROIC of 22%. So last year was the year that we achieved and overachieved all four financial goals that we laid out, and we would like to, and we would like to, and we hope to keep it that way throughout the years coming. We also invested in business last year with a capital expenditure of $1.5 billion. We spent $1.8 billion in R&D, also made acquisition of $1 billion. We also made a significant progress on all of our three strategic levers, namely portfolio management, investing in innovation, as well as business transformation. We also returned $7.9 billion to shareholders in the form of dividends and share buyback. Let's look at a little bit more detail relative to cash returns to our shareholders. 2015 will be a year that we will declare cash dividends of somewhere around $2.6 billion. That's an all-time record. That's about 20% increase over 2014, when we announced 35% increase in dividend. So it's 20% increase after 35. That's what we are committing to relative to cash dividend in 2015. 2015 will also mark 57th consecutive year of annual increases in our dividend. And 3M has paid dividend without interruption for 98 years. In terms of share repurchases, in 2013 and 2014, we spent $5.2 billion and $5.7 billion respectively for 2 years. And over the next several years, up until 2017, we think share repurchase program will add approximately 3% to earnings per share growth over the next few years. So that's a look in terms of our cash returns to our shareholders. Now let's take a look at some details of 3M operations, starting from international operation, which is what I'm responsible for. That is about 63% of 3M's revenue. So as you see here, last year in 2014, we reached a $20 billion mark in international sales, the first time in 3M's history. That is 63% of 3M's revenue. International reached 23% operating income to sales last year. Again, we have official subsidiary network in 70 countries, and we have 35 laboratory locations around the world with over 4,000 R&D headcount. As you see here, Asia Pacific is now split into Asia and Greater China. We made this split 2.5 years ago to make sure that we grow China as well as the rest of Asia. If you look at the track record of international, we have been growing consistently at the pace of 5% organic growth for the last 5 years, and we continue to grow about 6% local currency growth for the next 3 years. So we reached $20 billion in 2014, and we expect to be somewhere around $23 to $25 billion by 2017. And the growth will come from both developed and developing markets. As you see, we are facing a lot of dynamics of the world in terms of external realities. It could be the price of oil that's gyrating every month. It could be dollar appreciation or geopolitics or some slowness in CHK as well as some developing economies. 3M has a very well laid out playbook over many years, particularly in international, in terms of how to manage these gyrations of external circumstances. We have been planning different scenarios for a long time. This goes back to early 90s when Latin America was going through sovereign debt crisis and defaults. So over those years, 3M clearly laid out what they're going to do when a certain situation happens in a certain part of the world. It could be currency or it could be certain balance sheet issues that we are facing in the case of, for example, in Venezuela. In different circumstances, our people who really understand local situation knows exactly what to do when euro gets down to 1.15 or 1.10 or parity. We have a plan to make sure that we execute our playbook. It's a combination of productivity increase, a pricing gain in wherever we can, as well as some other areas like strategic hedging, as well as our sourcing gains in different parts of the world. So in doing so, we are able to manage and mitigate lots of these risks over the years. Let's take a look at the roadmap of our key strategic levers. These are 3M's key strategic levers, namely portfolio management, invest in innovation, as well as business transformation. Starting from portfolio management really means that we have to make a choice. 3M has 27 operating divisions operating at 70 countries. So if you do the math, we have an intersection points of over 1,800 locations. So we have 70 subsidiaries and 27 business units in terms of division. So how to manage this very complex portfolio is a key task of 3M. So when Inge arrived in 3M, he clearly laid out the rule that we will not be able to invest everywhere. We will not be able to do everything. So let's make a choice in where to play and how to win. So that is fundamentally our way of looking at our portfolio. So the end outcome is to reallocate 3M resources in terms of people and capital in the best opportunities. That's a real outcome of portfolio management. So if you look at 3M's 27 operating divisions, we laid out this way, that's the lay of the land in terms of landscape. So we grouped them into three buckets, namely Heartland, Push Forward, and Strategic Review. Heartland divisions are those ones that are very big, very profitable, very strong, and accretive margin to the rest of the company, and very well established in terms of brand positioning. So these are really the backbone of 3M. And we have five businesses that amounts to about $11 billion, or about one-third of the company belongs to this category of really the foundational backbone of 3M. In this case, we like to invest, protect, and grow the business. So we have to strengthen this heartland because they are the backbone of 3M. So that's how we define heartland divisions. Then we have a number of push-forward divisions. These are relatively small businesses, but operating in very high-growing market that we can invest more and accelerate growth. For example, some healthcare businesses or retail DIY businesses, we can grow a lot faster by investing more people and capital. So our push-forward divisions will get a lot more investment to accelerate the growth in sales and profit. So that's the portfolio choice that we are making to make sure that we put the best investment in best opportunities. There are certain strategic review businesses that are undergoing some performance improvement, and we'll continue to look at these units to make sure that they will not stay there forever. They will either improve the business or going through some other strategic options. So that's how we manage 3M's portfolio. In terms of geography portfolio, we are also making choices in terms of where to play because we cannot win in every 230 countries, for example. So we have a playbook to make a choice in developed country and developing country. If you look at our developing economy, we have planned to grow 9% for the next 4 years. And in developed market, we have a plan to grow 3%. So that is our playbook in terms of developing and developed. There are different market opportunities in developing and developed, which is slightly different. In developing markets like China, we are really focusing on the mega trend. For example, air pollution is a big issue in many, many developing economies. 3M has a wide range of solutions in that industry. So air pollution, water quality, or food safety issue can provide a huge opportunity for 3M in a country like India and China in terms of developing markets. What the infrastructure, for example, road construction, telecommunication, so on and so forth. Developed market is slightly different. They are more developed by definitions of sustainability, energy-saving solutions. Healthcare product in terms of aging population will be the opportunity for us. So we can win in developed market as well as developing market by focusing on what they're looking for in terms of market opportunities. Investing innovation is really about R&D and commercialization. 3M has been doing a pretty good job in here. In fact, we are stepping up our R&D and innovation investment. If you look at our investment in these 46 fundamental technologies, it has been pretty steady, somewhere around 5.5, 5.6% to sales we will plan to step it up to 6%. This is our 46 fundamental technologies that we have as a company. It's a very strong foundational technologies that we have. One thing about 3M is this technology belongs to the company, doesn't belong to any individual division. What that means is that any division or any product developer can freely share the knowledge from these 46 technology platforms. That's what enables 3M to go into many different end markets, like aerospace or automotive or electronics, but still create a new-to-the-world solutions by tapping into these fundamental technologies. That's why it's really crown jewel of 3M. That's why we want to invest more in these fundamental technologies. We invest more in the depths of technologies. We also want to invest more to make sure that 46 becomes 47 or 48. Recently, we made a technology acquisition like in ceramics. That's one area that 3M would like to really expand and deepen. That's why we made that acquisition. We also made acquisition in ultra filtration to really advance our filtration technology. So if you look at our fundamental 46 technologies, and 3M wants to deepen and widen these technology platforms is the way to commercialize a lot of new products. So as I told you, we are stepping up our R&D investment from 5.6 to 6%. You might ask, what is the rest of the money go from 5.6 to 6%? The answer is that we'd like to use this money to create more new to the world, what disruptive type technology, which is not just incremental, which is purely differentiated technologies and products for 3M. So programs are on the way on the 3M Corporate Innovation Board. They're supervising these programs to make sure that 3M is truly innovating in disruptive technology, in disruptive market opportunities. And there are many, you know, of these examples, which I will take a couple of examples in my presentation. In international, we are also establishing a lot of technical centers. These are the centers that 3M meets with the customer. We have 46 customer technology centers around the world. That's the venue that we invite the customers. We have a good discussion relative to the solutions. We are also shifting the center of gravity in R&D activities. Not everything is done in the United States. In fact, as far as central R&D capability, we are shifting our center of gravity to locations like China, Germany, and Japan to make sure that we have those regional capabilities not only in United States. We also would like to put more consumer insights or marketing to R&D to make sure that we truly understand the need from the customers and consumers to generate new products. So I'll just take one example. If you take a look at the air quality problem in China, it's a big problem. It's a health hazard problem, like everybody knows. People in Beijing or Shanghai are waking up by checking their air quality index, what they call AQI. If 50 is pretty healthy level, it could range from 150 to 200. So public awareness is there. It creates a lot of buzz, not only in China, but elsewhere. 3 years ago, 3M introduced a consumer respiratory protection program, which is designed to provide proprietary 3M respirator to consumers. The product was designed and manufactured in China by our people in China using local raw material to hit the price point of any consumer can buy, and we made them available ubiquitously. People can go to the supermarket, they can buy. They can go to the website, they can buy. They can go anywhere to make a purchase. So this program alone, as they continue to work through this air pollution issue, which will not go away anytime soon, by the way, could be multi-hundreds of millions of dollars of opportunity for 3M. This is just one example of one issue in China, air quality, in one country, can provide this level of new and very profitable opportunity for 3M. And I can have many examples like that, for example. In Japan, this is an earthquake-prone country. 3M has a viscoelastic material, which can be made into the damper that can be inserted into the building structure, which can withstand some of the earthquake shakes. So it is the way to look at local issues and create solutions. In China, we are also introducing major water purification programs. So these are the types of local mega trend that we are converting to our commercial opportunities. Last but not the least is our effort around business transformation. It's truly transform 3M to have a one single instance ERP around the world and really focusing on operational excellence to create productivity. We are now 2.5 years journey into business transformation or ERP. We are in deployment stage in Europe right now, and U.S. will follow in 2016. Total investment for this project will be somewhere around $1.1 to $1.2 billion. This will generate the annual operational savings in the range of $500 to $700 million by 2020, and it will also improve our working capital $500 million by 2020. Our operational excellence program in terms of cost of goods sold, strong focus on Lean Six Sigma will continue. As you see here, there is a very, very good effort to drive the unit cost down, reduce the waste. Maniacal focus on Lean and Six Sigma will continue to drive our productivity and supply chain efficiency to drive basically our cost of goods sold down as we go forward. And to do that, we are stepping up our Lean Six Sigma effort. We have dramatically increased the number of our black belt, for example, to run those programs. So in a nutshell, we think 3M is a very strong and proven growth platform. We have a very strong operational excellence program that can work both in good times and tough times. So some people ask what 3M does in these days with all the current headwind. We're executing the playbook the same way that we did for many years, which has worked for 3M. And we have very large untapped local megatrend opportunities. We will continue to invest in R&D and commercialization through, and we are going to do this through our very capable, diverse global talent. So in a nutshell, there's a quick story about 3M, and we'd like to follow up with our Q&A. Okay. Thank you.
So let me ask the first question, because I think people have long memory and people think back to the 98 Asia crisis, but one of the first questions I get is currency effects. And, you guys have stated that you have moved from six-month hedges to two-year hedges. So this is a call I get on a regular basis, and people go, well, what happens in 2016 when the hedges roll off? You know, what's the hit to earnings? Can you address that issue?
Yeah, I can. I'll give you some history there. So you're right, late 90s, when the Asian currencies devalued, our hedging approach was a little bit more short-term then. We were hedging intercompany activity maybe over a 2 to 3 month horizon. We weren't hedging the translation risk, and the company had fairly significant hits to earnings at that time. So it was on the heels of that we decided to leg into the strategy that we've been working since 2000, which is actually hedging 12 months forward on the developed market currencies. So it's a large basket of all the countries in the world where the currencies are very liquid. And we do that on a rolling 12-month basis, and we hedge roughly 50% of our net exposure, defined as basically our translation risk and our intercompany transaction risk, plus any cross-border purchasing activity that we do. So we're always forecasting forward 12 months. We're netting all those exposures and hedging around 50% of that range, plus or minus. There's some autonomy. Now, recently, in mid-2014, we made a decision on a couple of the majors, including the euro, to just extend the horizon out to 24 months, still maintaining an overall roughly 50% hedge ratio. So that's the history. And the view at the time was, 3M was a global company then. We felt we were going to continue to grow faster outside the U.S., which has happened. And, we wanted to create a more predictable, lop off highs and lows in terms of currency ups and downs, but also importantly give the business time to respond, because there are natural hedges in the business that we also work on. And HC, maybe you want to touch on those.
Right. I think hedging can provide some help, but I think it can probably give us some buying time type situations, because fundamentally we are addressing this issue through strong productivity and supply chain efficiency program everywhere in the world. I think a lot of investment that we have made in the past in terms of local manufacturing is really helping these days. So if you make products in China using Chinese people as a
as a workforce using raw material that we buy in China, in yuan, all of a sudden, you find yourself relatively mitigated from the currency risk. That's not the same everywhere, but localization, a strong supply chain program, a strong productivity program, and get the pricing wherever we want, you know, wherever we can, in terms of some maybe dollar-based pricing in wherever possible, increase the price wherever possible and whenever. So those are the things that we do in addition to the hedging to go through this type of currency mitigation.
And so when you say rolling, so it means that the hedges are not going to sort of, there's no cliff. It's just every month. Do you do it every month, every quarter, every?
Yeah, every month.
Every month
we re-roll the forecasts. So every month we've got hedges coming off. We've got new hedges going on. And that's sort of how we've done it ever since. So we haven't, we've chosen to stay with the strategy as opposed to sort of pulling out and pulling in. That's often when you can kind of run into that risk. A little different whether it's a developed market or a true developing one, too. We separate the currencies into, you know, think of it as two different buckets. The actively managed bucket are the very liquid currencies. Those are the ones we include in that 50% hedge policy. Locally managed currency risk is managed a little differently. And that's really with a what I'll call a partnership between our corporate treasury team, which is sort of assessing the risks globally about where we could see currency issues develop down the road. But importantly, our local leadership team in those countries, and Venezuela would be the best example of that of late, are very well conditioned to manage those kinds, that kind of volatility, because typically the solutions are operational solutions, not hedging solutions.
Right, exactly. Do people have any questions? I have a lot of questions. So can we talk about, I think one thing that people really, you know, what I found, don't quite get is just how close all the technologies sort of fit together. And, you know, what shocked me is, you know, I guess this realization that you can make consumer product and industrial product literally in the same factory and sometime on the same machine with very little change over time. Can you talk particularly on emerging markets as, you know, what we're seeing is that industrial capex in emerging markets is slowing versus what it used to be maybe 5 years ago. And can you talk about how you're positioned to sort of to take advantage maybe of accelerating consumer spending or, you know, spending on, you know, healthcare or emissions? You know, can you talk about it, how much flexibility you guys have to do that?
So obviously, we made significant investment in emerging market like China, Brazil, in the past 20 to 30 years. So we are relatively self-sufficient in terms of making products locally and designing product locally by our people in those locations. As you know, demand from those countries are changing. You mentioned about healthcare and consumer. Even in China, while export industry continues to slow down, we see lots of opportunity in, for example, in more domestic consumer-driven demand opportunity like healthcare, for example, and consumer, like a safety. I mentioned about air pollution. Those are quintessentially domestic demand-driven economies that we see just large, almost explosive opportunity. So we are shifting slowly to those opportunities. Now, in terms of capital, to take advantage of those, we do not have to use a lot more capital because non-woven can be used in professional line as well as consumer line, just like you mentioned, because we share those technologies. PSA or tape can be used in Apple iPhone. It can be also used in consumer product because of nature of...
And do you literally make them the same facility? Or?
Not exactly the same, but, for example, the adhesive making process is very similar.
Right.
So we leverage a lot of those common capabilities. Right. That gives us a tremendous flexibility in shifting the end market in different locations.
And as long as we're on this subject, you know, one of the questions was, can you just touch on what you're seeing in the U.S. and Europe, because obviously that's the big debate.
Well, U.S., we see a lot of strengths in economy, and our business is doing very well in the U.S. I mean, it's a really outgrowing economy in the United States, very good momentum. very good productivity in the United States. As far as Europe, everybody is dealing with this declining euro. We have the organization in Europe, which is quite lean, and productivity program has been very, very strong in Europe. So that's our playbook in terms of going through this type of declining euro. Now, eventually, we hope to see some end market demand coming back. We see some green shoots or signs of green shoots. We have not seen that in our order book, but it's happening in the country like Germany, maybe Italy. So hopefully we can see some more activities coming from Europe, but we are dealing with the currency situation like everybody else.
Just to share a couple numbers. So in the U.S., we exited last year at about 6.5% organic growth. For 15, we're expecting a range of 3 to 6%. That was our guidance that we put out on the January call. Europe, we were slightly positive organically last year, West Europe, excuse me, slightly positive. Our expectation would be it's about plus or minus 2%, so relatively modest expectations at the early stage of the year, and then we'll give an update here in April.
I don't know if you can comment on that, but, you know, I think one of the concerns we've been hearing yesterday is just the impact of weather in North America has been disruptive, but you guys certainly sound a bit more positive.
Yeah. And the amount of business that we are exposed to weather is kind of debatable, but it's not that huge portion in terms of 3M. I don't know if that can come.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have
yeah.
I think we have a question from the audience.
Hi there. In 2014, you had a good benefit from the price-cost spread, and I'm wondering, as we see kind of deflationary pressures in the world right now, what you're thinking on going forward. Can you keep that spread, or as some would say, that was the best it was going to get last year? Can you comment on that?
We're going to expect it to moderate this year but still be positive. So we've had a couple years of pretty positive price change. Part of that was just underlying price improvement due to the business model. Part of it was currency related and those developing market currencies where we had devaluations, we raised prices. Into 15, what we'd expect to see is more carryover of prior year price increases, still positive for the year, but moderated versus 2014. Still positive.
Thanks. We have a question in the back.
Hi. Last year you talked a bit about M&A being back on the table, and in particular large M&A, which you've never really done before. Do you mind commenting on the outlook for that? Because I think Ceradyne was kind of a one-off large deal, and we haven't seen anything in that vicinity before.
Yeah, so in our five-year plan, which covers 2013 to 17, we've earmarked in our cash plans somewhere in the range of $5 to $10 billion toward acquisitions, and I think over the prior years we did something less than that, and maybe it was in the $3 to $4 billion range. So you're right, a step up. Inga's been very clear from day one that having a more of a focused approach with fewer deals, but on average larger size deals that we've versus what we've done historically is where we'd like to be. So we'd like to do fewer of them, more focused, very much linked to the portfolio work that HC talked about, which tends to be, would be assets that are much closer to our core or very near adjacencies. To date, in the course of the five-year plan, between what we've closed and what we've announced, and we've only announced the separations media business of Polypore. We're in regulatory phases right now, so we need to wait for that approval. But if I added that in, we'd be just over $2 billion of the $5 to $10 billion. So those are kind of how the numbers shake out. We over the prior 5 years, we did a fair number of acquisitions, maybe in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 acquisitions. On average, small, and pretty well spread across the portfolio. What I tell you is, what governs where we look for M&A now is really based on
those heartland businesses, those push forward businesses, in those areas where, you know, based on the portfolio work we've done, we want to, make those businesses bigger. And I think increasingly, these four fundamental strengths that HC referred to, which are the areas where, when we see businesses that have more of those embedded in them, those are the more successful businesses. Finding assets where we can leverage those in a big way are the ones where we think we can create the most value. HC, want to add anything here?
We have time for one more question.
Can you just talk through, are there any geographies that you're in at the moment that you think are no longer conducive to 3M operating in? Venezuela might be an example where you'd like to retrench and, support from outside the region.
So at any given point in time, we constantly assess the viability of each country. We've been doing that for many, many years, and 3M's philosophy is to be in the country over the long haul. We are not going in and come back or come out. So we are in the country on a long haul. Example is Indonesia. When Indonesia was going through this, we maintained presence there. Same is true with Venezuela. We are slowing down investment, in the case of Russia, as you know. But we will still be there serving local customers. In terms of prioritization of different geographies, we clearly see some risk level in those countries that you mentioned, Venezuela, Argentina, and Russia, just like everybody else is seeing. But we are basically executing the same playbook. We look at the country over the long haul. We are there for long haul serving local customers. And we respond to the situation as they arise, like in the case of Russia or Venezuela.
All right. I think we're out of time, so thank you very much.
Thank you.